Today I want to talk about an invitation to renewed spiritual fervor. This verse says to keep your spiritual fervor, to keep your spiritual connection, your passion, to keep your spiritual dynamic of life present and on purpose, to never be lacking in zeal. Acts chapter 2 is where we get the Pentecost story. So if you have one finger in that part of your Bible, turn there right now. In Acts chapter 2, it starts this. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how are the countries that are represented in the hearing of what is going on?" At the end, in verse number 12, it says this, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some people thought they were drunk. And then Peter got up and spoke a sermon that told the gospel of Jesus. We are not drunk as you suppose. It's only like 9 o'clock in the morning. What do you take us for? And then it goes on to unpack what is going on. In the last days, God promised that he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That everyone, instead of specific people for specific times and specific purposes, as the Old Testament accounts, the relationship with God, everyone would have the Spirit of God poured out on their life. That is Pentecost. Pentecost is this new age of the Spirit. It's this new encounter with God, the new covenant in full form. The presence of God, the power of God, the purpose of God, the dynamic of God, the fruit of his Spirit, the gifts of his Spirit, all unleashed at Pentecost. For boldness and courage to share the gospel, for boldness and courage to produce fruit of this new life, that is Pentecost. It's the courage to stand for righteousness in the face of persecution. It's the courage to stand for Christ in this day and age. It's the courage to lift our eyes up as we were encouraged at the beginning of the service. It is that which we celebrate today. Pentecost is a celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and this is an invitation to renewed spiritual fervor. The Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the very beginning, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, it was a feast. There were 7 Jewish feasts in a year, and this was one of 3 of the feasts that they were called and encouraged to be in Jerusalem for. 3 of the feasts were called pilgrim feasts, in which case, if you could, you went to Jerusalem. Now, on the way to Jerusalem, the playlist for that journey was found in Psalms 120 to 134. This group of psalms is known as the Songs of Ascent, or the Psalms of Ascent, and that was the playlist. Quite literally, these were the songs sung on the road trip to Jerusalem. So all of the Jewish people, regardless of where they were from, like in Acts chapter 2 when it says they're from all the different places that I skipped reading because I really do a bad job with names sometimes. All of those places, they would come on journey, the one road that led up to Jerusalem. They would all meet and mix and mingle, and the common language they had was this series of songs. And they would come and they would sing together. Psalm 121 is one of them. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven. And then it goes into these, he will not let your foot slip. And the whole congregation of people heading up to Jerusalem for the feast would sing together. Today I want to talk about four invitations from four of these psalms. There's 15 of them. But I want to talk about four invitations that I see in Scripture to renew our spiritual fervor. Because as I stood in worship this morning, I'm like, I need to practice what I preach. And I have not been feeling very fervent these days. I'm tired. I'm weary. And as I was looking at it, I'm like, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. And I saw in my own life an invitation to come and lift my eyes up. So point number one today is out of Psalm 121, which Audrey preached already, so I don't have to go there very much. Psalm 121, the point for this one is that sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires a shift in perspective. One of my soapboxes that my church hears me preach all the time is, I lift my eyes up. I lift my eyes up. Psalm 121 starts, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, I've heard it said sometimes that some of our modern worship choruses are repetitive. This psalm in Hebrew is repetitive. It is the same word over and over and over again. We translate it slightly different. He keeps watch over you. He watches over you. He is always looking. We translate it slightly different, but it's the same thing. Over and over and over, over this. He's over this. He is watching. He is present. He is sovereign. He is there. And the psalmist writes, I lift my eyes up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then you'll notice a chorus joins in and says, He is, He is, He is. There's a shift in perspective in this psalm. It starts with, I lift my eyes up. And this chorus of singers comes alongside this person who starts the chorus. It was often understood that someone would start it, whether priest or journeyer on the journey, they would sing, I lift my eyes up, and the chorus would join in, He will not let your foot slip. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires a shift in perspective, because when I am looking at the life that I am living, it sucks. Can I say that? It's hard. It's depleted. It's tired. And it requires that perspective that says, I lift my eyes up to God. I intentionally lift my perspective up. And the community of faith can come in and stand around me and say, God has got this. He is over this. He supports you. He is present. A number of years ago, late on a Saturday night, we got word that one of my mom's brothers died. And it was late in the night, late in the day. And the next morning, I had to preach and lead worship because we were severely understaffed. And I sat there with my mom, who had just lost her brother, and we sat there, and I was like, I don't think I can do this. I don't know what to do for church. I don't know how to do this. And so I called some pastor friends of mine, and I'm like, I think I'm going to start, and I'm going to bawl my whole way through it. I don't think I can sing. I don't know if I can preach. I don't know what to do. And they said, be honest and lift your eyes up. They said, be honest with your church. Let them know this is what happened late last night. I'm just dealing with it. And then choose to lift your eyes up. So we started. I started with worship. I had an elder in the church encourage everyone and say, look, our pastor and her family are going through this stress this morning, this loss, this grief. Let's support them. We started meeting, you know. My mom walks from the back of the church to the front of the church, and she's just standing, you know, in front of everybody. And she's just standing there. And without word, without prompting, the church came and stood around her and sang. And there was this beautiful thing. I couldn't play. I was like, gone. And I'm just still playing the guitar, watching everybody. And she says after that point, she goes, I just let them sing for me. They sang to my soul. Sometimes a shift in perspective is me choosing to lift my eyes up and having the community of faith sing around me. People that are going through struggles oftentimes say, oh, I just wasn't at church because I was struggling. I have no patience for that. I say, find yourself, even if you have no words to sing, stand there and let the congregation sing around you. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise his name forevermore. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is stronger? Let them sing around you. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires a shift in perspective. We need to prioritize lifting our eyes up and being found in a community that sings, he will not let your foot slip. He watches over you. He is for you and with you. Point number two this morning, Psalm 124. So moving ahead, Psalm 124 is another psalm of ascent. They would sing it on this journey, and it starts with this. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say again, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us, the teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I love that it starts, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say it again. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been taken out. Praise God. He broke the fowler's snare. He broke the power of sin and darkness. The point of this one is that sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires remembering who God is and what he has done. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires me to look back on the past and say, no, he has done it. He has broken the power of sin and darkness. He has brought me into the kingdom of light. He has delivered me from poverty, from sickness, from death, whatever it is, whatever your testimony is. He has demonstrated kindness. He has showed loving kindness. He has been faithful. Wherever your testimony is, the power of remembering renews spiritual fervor. Lamentations is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's completely depressing except for these a few short verses in chapter 3. Beyond depressing. If you want language to capture feeling bad, turn to Lamentations. It's excellent. It's like, my teeth were chewing gravel and no one was against me and there were arrows in my back and everyone hated me and I might as well go eat dirt. And then in chapter 3, verse 19, the prophet Jeremiah writes, I consider my bitterness and my gall and my soul is downcast. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of his great love, we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires this I call to mind, and therefore I stood and shared about how Christ met them. I remember so-and-so talking about the fact that they've been delivered from this or that or the other thing. I look back on my own life and see the points where, if God had not been on my side, I would have been engulfed, consumed, taken out. Life might not look like I plan. My life does not look like I planned when I was in high school, which was only a few years ago. No. 20-year anniversary of high school graduation was last year, so that's how old I am. I know I look youthfully charming, but I'm not. It's fastly tipping towards 40. Life might not look like we planned. The deliverance that we are hoping for might not look like we hoped it would look. Healing might not come like we hoped or prayed. But God is still good, and God is still faithful, and God is still loving, and God is still on our side. And that orientation of our faith affects how we remember life. God is still good, even if I didn't get my way. God is still faithful, even if I didn't get my way. And we need that renewed perspective of remembering who God is and what he has done. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires us to remember. Moving ahead, Psalm 129, there's a number of them. You can go home today and read all the Psalms of Ascent. They're usually short. They're all really short, except for the longest one is Psalm 132. Otherwise, they're like little short choruses, because when you're singing with a group, you just want little short songs. You don't want lots of verses and choruses and bridges. You just want short little things. And they're largely repetitive. But Psalm 129 starts like this. It says, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth." Let Israel say again, "They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked." Now, there's a prayer in the last half of that psalm that I'm not going to focus on. It's about praying for your enemies, but I'm going to start with the first bit. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of pain and consideration of God's faithfulness. Sometimes to renew our spiritual fervor, we need to recognize that life is hard and has hurt us. The furrows in my back are long. The enemy has oppressed me. The enemy has oppressed me from my youth. That's how they start this psalm. They have greatly oppressed me, but they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back. The enemy has plowed my life, has put deep furrows of pain into my life, but has not gained the victory. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of the pain of life, not to stay there, not to become a victim of, but this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. Not to say, my pain is bigger than your pain. Yeah, well, I also face, not to be that person, but to acknowledge that life has been painful, but hasn't gotten me down, hasn't gotten the victory over me. And God has been faithful even in the painful season. Middle of 2016, I had heartbreak of the dating variety. Devastating. Just as I was getting over that, I fainted on an airplane and gave myself a concussion that lasted a year and 4 days of headache and concussion. My Nana died. And it was like within 7 months, it was like wham, wham, wham. And I was sitting there in the darkness one day because the recovery from concussion required a blindfold because darkness and dark rooms weren't dark enough. And I was sitting there one day on my couch with this blindfold, this silk blindfold over my eyes, just sitting there in the darkness thinking, this could be the rest of my life. This could be, I might not recover to the point of being able to read, teach, preach, sing, play music. I might not. They didn't know. I wasn't recovering quite as quickly as they would have hoped. And I remember sitting there in the dark with this blindfold on my eyes, and it felt like God came and sat beside me on the couch and said, can I ask you a question? I was like, no, I don't want you to. I don't think I'm going to like the question. And I was sad and hurting and just didn't want to. But it's God, so after a few minutes, I was like, sure, ask the question. And he said, do you trust me? This blindfold on, kind of sitting on my couch thinking if I was losing my mind because it felt very present, like God was sitting right there. Do you trust me? And I just sat there for a little bit, and somewhere deep within my soul rose the words, I trust you. And I wish I could say that from that minute I was healed and everything was better and all the heartache and headache and grief lifted. My Nana hadn't passed at that point. We were just walking through it. I wish I could say that in an instant things shifted and I was passionate and alive and creative and excited for Jesus. It didn't. But something in me shifted. When I uttered those words, I trust you. You've never failed. You won't start now. I trust you. But this season is painful. And in that acknowledgement, it wasn't the freedom to stay there, but it's like it kind of built this thing to stand on and say, it is hurtful. It is painful. All that's gone on. But sometimes God is faithful, and I won't be taken out by this. Because sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of this is the season I am in. And I can't fake it. I can't make it happen. But I can acknowledge the fact that this is hard, but God is better. And he is faithful, and he is good, and he will not let the enemy of sin and death and darkness have the victory over me. He won't. He won't. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of pain and consideration of God's faithfulness. The fourth psalm today is Psalm 130, on the bottom of my page. I don't know what your Bible looks like. On the bottom of my page, it starts like this. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Out of the depths, I cry to you. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, acknowledgement of sin, and appreciation of mercy. Sometimes, even if you've walked with the Lord for year upon year, sin afflicts us. At the beginning of 2017, we were doing a week of prayer and fasting, and one night we were doing this time of prayer and worship at one of our members' houses, and we were singing through this song, and I was sitting there playing my guitar, or the piano, one of the two instruments, and felt like another exchange with God was going on, and someone was praying about sin and uncovering sin, and that any sin in lives would be uncovered. And I just felt like God said to me, can I ask you a question? It's common posture for me. It's like he asks my permission to dialogue. So I said, sure, I'm paying attention. And he goes, I would like to know when you're going to stop sinning. Okay. So I said, could you be more specific? Because I thought I was nailing this life. And all of a sudden you're like, I'd like to know when you're going to stop sinning. And I went, okay, what do you mean? And he started to show me, and it was kind of a playful thing, because God is not always this big meanie for me, but it was the kind of this playful thing. I just compared to others and figured, this small area of sin, it's nowhere near as big as theirs. And for me, the biggest thing was, God said, I would like you to be obedient in the little. You've lost your sense of obedient in the small things and quick obedience. Whether it's go apologize, send that word of encouragement, speak that word of encouragement, I just let it slip. The small little obedient things, invite them over for dinner, do this thing with those people, whatever it is, it's usually, for me, it was usually a connection piece or a speaking encouragement piece or a don't say those words piece. And there was this element of, I just didn't think it mattered that much, so I would walk away from those small little prompts. And it felt like God was saying, no, that is sin. When I speak to you and call you to do things and you don't, that's sin. And he started to uncover layers in this prayer meeting of people that were just like, I wrote some of them down, words that we chose to say that were not appropriate. One person's was, not that much food or drink. It's not that I eat poorly, it's that I eat too much poorly. Not that posture of pride, not withholding tithes or offerings, these little things that don't seem that huge in the grand scheme of adultery or lying or embezzling of funds and all of these big sins, some that need course correction. And sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of those sins and appreciation for the mercy of God. That if you, O Lord, kept a record of every time I missed the mark, I couldn't stand under it. I can't stand under the weight of my humanity. But with you, God, is unfailing love and full redemption of sin. The world desperately tries to justify sin. I said something like this in a service recently, and I had a number of people come to me afterwards and say, yeah, you're awfully hard on sin, and you're really not that bad. And I'm like, I know I'm not that bad, but I'm also not that good. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior just like you. And if the Holy Spirit comes into my life and says, I want you to start speaking encouragement and I don't, to me that is sin. For me, that is sin. We need to be people who keep our hearts soft to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to the light of God coming into the shadows of our hearts and saying, peekaboo, I see you. It's time to come out. We need to have hearts that invite the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires a shift in perspective where I lift my eyes up. I choose to intentionally refocus from what's going on to who God is. I choose to come into the assembly of people, and because whatever the season is that is hard, I come and let you sing it for me. Sometimes a renewed spiritual fervor requires remembering who God is and what he has done. If the Lord had not been on my side, say it again, if the Lord had not been on my side, I would have been done. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of pain and consideration of God's faithfulness. They have greatly oppressed me. The furrows in my back are deep and long, but they haven't gained the victory. Sometimes renewed spiritual fervor requires acknowledgement of sin and appreciation of God's mercy. The little things, the big things, all the things, allowing a soft heart to come before God and say, "Have your way." Today is an invitation to renewed spiritual fervor, and it's not always that all these sometimes are in our lives. You might sit there and think, "Oh, I really don't have any sin," or "I really am not in a place of pain," or "I don't have a lot of chaos going on where I need to lift my eyes up," but I do need to remember who God is and what he has done. I do need that renewed consideration of his faithfulness in my life or the testimonies I have heard. It's not always all of the sometimes, but it's often that we need to consider one of these factors and these dynamics to renew spiritual fervor. Because Paul writes in Romans to never be lacking and always have zeal. It's an important part of stirring up the Spirit of God in us. And this Pentecost, I wanted to come and bring an invitation to renewed spiritual fervor. Wherever you're at, whatever your face fervor, PLBC, if you'd like to come, and we're going to come to a point of response and an opportunity to stand and worship again and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And as they are coming, I want to pray for us that the Holy Spirit would speak and have his way and renew spiritual fervor in our lives, that we would have the courage to lift our eyes up, the courage to remember, the courage to acknowledge pain, the courage to allow for conviction of sin, because it really does take courage to come into the presence of God and allow the stirring and the Holy Spirit to speak and to move and to be stirred up in us. So as I pray today, I'm going to pray for each of these four specifically. And if it's you in one of these four, if you just want to open your hands and say, "That's me, Holy Spirit, stir, remind, remember, help me shift my perspective."